Let's go here. Second. Hello, everyone. Give us a second to get the stream set up, which is missing. Hold on. Okay. I don't have my, there it is. Sorry about that. Okay. We are now we're really live. We're live everywhere. Before we were just live in one place. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Marketing Live. I'm your host, the CEO of MediaGel, Jake Litke. Today, we have some esteemed members from the Cheech and Chong team here. We have Brooke Magnum, the CMO, and Jonathan Black, the CEO. Brooke, maybe you could give everyone a quick introduction of yourself and how you found yourself being the CMO of Cheech and Chong Brands.
Pure luck. No, like you said, my name is Brooke, and my background is in broadcasting. So I've been on rock radio for years. Also, I anchored for CBS for a number of years. But really what got me into broadcasting and marketing in general was I love telling stories. I love being a part of watching a brand grow. And that's really what marketing has always been for me, is being able to see something that is amazing that's happening and being able to be a part of that story and of that legacy. And I luckily got to be working with Cheech and Chong, which if you are talking about cannabis, there is no greater legacy than Cheech and Chong. And we really, at the marketing department at Cheech and Chong, it's playtime over here. The fact that we get to be a part of such an amazing legacy and historic brand. And our job is just to make sure that we maintain and keep that going. So that's basically what we're doing over here in a nutshell. So it's great to meet everybody, and we're excited to be here.
Well, your background in broadcast is now making me a little nervous. You obviously have a lot more experience with the microphone, but I will do my best to not embarrass you.
No, I'm used to asking the questions, Jake. That's the weird thing, is the role reversal that we're having here.
Okay. Jonathan.
Yes, I'm Jonathan Black. I'm the CEO of Cheech and Chong Global Holdings, Cheech and Chong Cannabis Co. Diverse background of building things from ground up, from tech to real estate to different retail businesses, so service businesses, so on and so forth. So I found myself with this golden opportunity to do something with the brand and to bring it together. The guys were kind of doing separate stuff when I came on board with the Cheech brand and Tommy's brand, and they still exist. We're still using those brands successfully, but we brought along the Cheech and Chong brand. And along the way, I met Brooke and Brandon and the rest of the team. And it's just been an amazing experience to see how far this can develop, and just the fan support and the interaction and engagement we get on a daily basis is just amazing. These guys obviously have been famous for 50 plus years. So one of the goals coming out of the gate was not to ruin that, right? That 50-year
legacy. That's the goal.
Definitely a lot of pressure in taking on this job. But it's been an amazing ride. And we just continue to grow in different spaces, and just so excited to be a part of this this adventure with everybody. And thank you, Jake, for having us on. It's great to be here. Long time no see.
Yeah, it's been a while. I'm super excited about this because I had the tape when I was a kid of Cheech and Chong's Greatest Hit. If you played that, I could probably word for word almost every single skit, although maybe some of them are a little less appropriate these days. But great comedy nonetheless. And so it's been great. I went to an event that you had when you launched the Cheechalata product, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There was a crazy amount of people there trying to see Cheech and Chong. The line was out the door. There were a lot of people with some looked like very vintage records.
Yes.
Even manage to get, well, I had to leave, but there was like hundreds of people still waiting to see them, whatever.
Everybody left happy. I will say that we did buy some chicheladas for some people that waited in line for hours and hours. But what you just touched on is something that we experience all the time. Being able to do and be a part of the meet and greets is one of my favorite parts of the job. And it's honestly the best way to get to know your consumer. That there's no other greater case study that you can do than go to the meet and greet. And every single person has a story like what you just shared, Jake. They have a personal connection to these guys and to this brand. And it's a memory with their father. It's like, that was the only thing that we could connect on was laughing to your records. And it's something really special to be a part of that legacy and to see how it's really impacted lives. And that's our goal, is to continue that impact and be able to have that connection with people as they grow up and as they pass on Cheech and Chong to their kids.
Great. So I have a little video that you put together. I'm going to attempt to play this. Let's see if I can make this work inside of Zoom. I see the video. I haven't actually tried to play a video inside of, what does this do? No. Well, we might have to come back to that. Can you see the video of Tommy Chong there?
Tommy's up on my screen. Yeah,
up on my screen as well.
Okay. Let's see if I can make it play now.
He has a good pause face, so that's nice for Tommy.
That's good. We're not giving him like the...
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Let's see. What does this button do here? Well, no. That's recording. Sharing sound live. All right. Oh, there we go. I think I can start it over now.
Awesome. Okay. I'm glad you're doing this and not me.
Yeah.
Tech is not my thing. I'll let everybody know.
Okay. Here we go. Let's try this now. There we go. So many little windows. All right. Here we go. Playing video. Take three.
Hey, man, it's me, Tommy Chong. Hey, you may know me for Chong and Cheech and Chong and all our classic movies.
Am I driving okay?
Or maybe we met on a spiritual plane. So either way, Cheech and I have been trying to spread the joy and the goodness of cannabis for over 50 years. Of course, it didn't always work out like we planned. But we never stopped focusing on our mission to bring the plant to the people. Of course, while enjoying it ourselves. Yeah, we've had some crazy adventures on this journey, and there's more in store. So if you're ready to join us on our next cosmic voyage, just hop in, man.
All right. I think that played successfully. Okay. There we go. All right. So I did see you have Chicholata in there. And we really have a broad number of things to talk about, because you have, as you said, it's a Cheech and Chong holding company. You have a lot of different things going on. Maybe, Jonathan, you could start by sort of outlining the different parts of the business and how they interact so that we can ask questions and get questions from the audience on what it is we're talking about.
Yeah, you know, the ultimate goal of the company is to get products into everybody's hands. And obviously with regulated markets, that's very tough in a lot of cases. So we have a CBD line, Tommy Chong CBD line, which is a great line. We've had that for years. It does very well on the B2C side and getting that in the hands of people. And then we built out a Delta 9 line, which is our drinks and our gummies, which is the gummies traditionally been B2C, but the drinks are now B2B. And we have a lot of distributors moving that. Beer distributors are moving that in two states right now, but we're looking to put more on the board rather quickly. And then we have the licensing division on the regulated side. And so we have a wholesale license, we have a delivery license, and we have a retail license play. And so what we've done there is we've created Cheech and Chong Dispensary and we do the look, the feel, the design. You know, we're trying to get 100 open in the next year. We're on our way. I got some open in Massachusetts, moving quickly to New Mexico, Mississippi, and California. So, you know, that's been an amazing experience. It has a look, the feel, the fun, everything that the brand has. It's brought that in, captured it. And then we also help with the marketing around that. So it's been fantastic. But, you know, the whole premise is to get both the integration from regulated to unregulated market space, not only from marketing, but from products and from branding. And so, you know, kind of building those different pillars around the marketplace is huge, right? And it gives us a much longer reach to our customer to get the feedback, to get the knowledge we need from them to continue building great products for Tommy and Cheech. So just been amazing in that sense. And, you know, really on the retail side, has been so much fun setting up the Massachusetts ones.
Yeah.
And moving forward quickly into other states with more retail dispensaries that are called Cheech and Chong dispensaries.
Yeah, that's great. Let's dive in on that a little bit, because that is the topic we're supposed to be talking about. We'll likely get off on some tangents at some point because there's so
many tangents
we're doing. Cheech and Chong Dispensaria. Mm-hmm. What does that mean for both the consumer that's coming into the store and someone who's running that? There are some similar types of cannabis companies that have tried to replicate brands across different state lines in a licensing model. I know from talking to you that you have a different approach. Maybe you could outline like how your brand, Cheech and Chong, works with someone who's running a retail location, and what does that activation look like?
Yeah, the activation is pretty simple. Once we get through the legal side of the agreements, we get right into the design work, right? And so we have a massive portfolio of designs that we can work within any space, right, to set up. So it has a look and the feel of the other dispensaries and the look and the feel of the brand that, you know, Jasmine and Brooke and Jace have worked so hard to make sure that stuff gets set up correctly. And then from there, they can carry, you know, obviously we'd love them to carry just our products, but that's right. That's not the pitch here. You know, we really do want to be welcoming, right, to people that have curiosity and want to come into the regulated market, right? So we're looking with our brand to engage those people to come in and work with the bud tenders to explain what those products are, you know, because someone that may see a dispensary and it has some name and they're not familiar with it may just decide to keep driving right on by, right? But when they see the Cheech and Chong Dispensaria, more often than not, they're going to stop and want and have curiosity to come in. And we want to make it inviting. And, you know, definitely we have that sense of humor that the guys have. We try to portray that look and feel throughout the whole store so that customers can enjoy their experience, right? Like, and give us feedback on it and get to know new things on the regulated market that they may not know, right? From bud tenders and bud tender training and so on and so forth. So we really work hand in hand with the owner. We don't want to, you know, it's a Steve Jobs approach, really. Like, you don't hire smart people and tell them what to do. We don't want to go in there and necessarily run a dispensary as business by any stretch of imagination. They have buying patterns and they have an understanding of the marketplace. That's great. What they need is visibility in the market, right? And that's what we're bringing to them. You know, here's a Cheech and Chong branded store. It has a look, the feel. We're behind it on the marketing efforts. The guys are behind it. We're doing everything we can from a social media standpoint, even a paid asset standpoint to drive traffic there. And once they're there, then we let the smart people do what they need to do.
And just for everyone that doesn't work with Cheech and Chong on a daily basis, that's who the guys are. You mentioned
yes.
Guys support it.
Yes, yeah. I know. I do the same thing, JB. What's really great about like the dispensarias and like what JB was talking about, it is a place where the Cheech and Chong brand comes to life. It's a place where you can go and engage with the brand like none other. You, as soon as you walk through the doors, our goal is for you to leave this world for just a moment and to enter the zany, quirky universe that is Cheech and Chong. And we incorporate that not just in our dispensarias and the design and the texture of the wallpaper. And I do mean texture, because Jasmine Marin, who is Cheech's daughter, she has really done a lot of the design for this. And like the brand is in her blood, quite literally. And the wallpaper itself has texture. But everything with our branding, when it comes to the D9 or the cruise shoes or the cannabis products, we want you to, when you pick up a product, to know that it's Cheech and Chong, not just because it has Cheech and Chong on the label, but because of the design and the thought that goes into it. And humor is just woven into every single thing that we do. And that's how we build out our brand. That's how we really get our consumer and our customer to not just be buying products, but to be a part of the brand itself. And that's how we can retain them and keep this legacy going.
I've seen some photos. I know that these spaces look really cool. Now, when you've got a whole design aesthetic that you provide, and you said wallpaper, murals, you've got all the artwork that comes in.
Yeah.
Now, if I go to you've got a bunch of locations in Massachusetts, you said now.
Mm-hmm. Three are going up right now.
You're going up now. What's another state where you have a one running?
Well, we're working on the on one in New Mexico. It's part of a 10-chain deal. So we're working on that. We also have some concepts on the CBD side, right, on the unregulated market too, that we're building out pretty quickly. So my
question, though, is around the retail experience and how similar it is, right? So if I go into a Massachusetts store, or maybe even among different stores in Massachusetts, if you look at like an Apple store, they're pretty much identical, right? But if you look at something like, Anthropology stores, right? Mm-hmm. They have the same stuff inside and the same design aesthetic, but they're laid out a little differently. Some of them have plant walls and different size stores. How do you approach that from a design aesthetic when you're working with a retailer? How similar is each retail experience?
Well, I'd relate it to like the Cheech and Chong movies, right? Like they're all Cheech and Chong, but they're all different, right? So, and that's going to be similar with our dispensarias. We go in with a brand book, but these are supposed to not just be like something that we plop down in the middle of our community. We want this to be integrated within the community itself. So in New Mexico, it's going to have the flavor of New Mexico, right? There's going to have different spices with it, because that's what we want, is it to be an integration of community. Because at the end of the day, that's what cannabis really is, right? I have yet to meet somebody that has tried cannabis alone for the first time. Cannabis is based in community. And that's what we really are trying to do here at Cheech and Chong, is activate the cannabis community and give them a place for them to gather and be together. And not just for the canna head person. We obviously have products for them as well, but the canna curious. There is a lot of people that are trying cannabis for the first time, or are maybe a little bit apprehensive. And our goal, especially with the dispensarias and our brand as a whole, is to be able to offer a comfortable place, a familiar place with a brand like Cheech and Chong that they probably have grown up with, or at least know something about it, and give them the opportunity to be able to take control of their health and try something different in a non-intimidating environment.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, especially with a brand that people know. There's a lot of great cannabis brands out there, but if you're coming into the space new, or coming into like going to a retail experience for the first time, and you're looking at a street and there's a variety of clever, pithy names and healthy names. Yeah. You've got Cheech and Chong, which the branding is very bright.
Yes. Well, Jake, you joked. I'm from Utah. So my first experience with a dispensary, like with just a dispensary, I remember I went in and I was like, are the cops going to come? Like, it was like, it was an intimidating experience for me, because I grew up in Utah with all the Mormons. So like, it just wasn't that thing. And so I get that experience for a consumer to come in, and it is just a wall of everything. And you're kind of like, where do I start? And that's really where the education aspect of our brand comes in, is educating the consumer to know what they're trying, and also to activate the bud tenders. The bud tenders are like the lifeblood of dispensaries, and also of the brands. Like, they're, if somebody's coming in and doesn't really know a whole lot about cannabis, I can guarantee they're going to go off of what the bud tender recommends. And that's such a huge thing for a brand, is to go in there and really activate the bud tenders and turn them into your greatest brand advocates by incentivizing them, and also letting them understand the passion and the drive that's behind your brand in particular.
That's one of our goals. I mean, you know, we started Bullmates just a little while ago,
and it just massively grew.
It's, you know, what we saw was like a lot of the social media sites, if you wanted to talk about cannabis, like, you would get flagged, you'd get removed. There was a lot of limitations to that, right? And so we decided to create, with Ear to Ground, a systematic approach called Bullmates, which looks a lot like Twitter Spaces mixed in with Instagram, mixed in with Facebook. It's just kind of a hybrid of you know, user interface that you would be accustomed to, right? So it's not daunting or intimidating. And this is where you see a lot of people talking about cannabis, not just Cheech and Chong cannabis. And you know, Cheech and Chong go in there and they have safety meetings, which is just basically a smoking session with Cheech and Chong, where people can ask them questions, which is great, right? Like, but we're getting and trying to engage more of those bud tenders, more of those dispensary owners, more of those growers to come into there and feel free to say whatever they want to say, right? You know, be respectful of others, obviously, but it's not something where you're going to get flagged because you posted, you know, your recipe for a concentrate or something like that. So, yeah. You know, really trying to engage them into that community that Brooke's talking about, which is so important. Like, everybody feels like a part of Cheech and Chong. It's kind of amazing how many like emails we get inviting them to weddings and birthdays. And so they're, you know, Uncle Tommy, I hear a lot of, right, from mm-hmm. people. So it's almost like two family members to a lot of the audiences and fans that we have. And so to be able to bring in that community feel and aspect into the dispensarias, into Bowlmates, and moving it back and forth, right? A lot of the Bowlmates get benefits for being Bowlmates. So they are the first of a lot of things, right? Which is fantastic for them, which plays right into the dispensaries. It allows people to talk about products in Bowlmates to the audience of Bowlmates and do webcasts and stuff, generally like what you're doing here for businesses in the cannabis section, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think it's a fantastic thing to continue to push that community aspect that really made Cheech and Chong, right? It's something where these people are really diehard fans, which is amazing. And we wanted to build something for them, specifically for them, and reward them for all those years of following these guys and being big fans of these guys. So we definitely did that. And we're utilizing that into the regulated space of these dispensaries.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Bowlmates is your own product, web-based product where people can build community. But I know that you also are active on social media. I know you've had a lot of success on TikTok, for example. And I'm curious as to how you intersect where you've got like a younger generation on TikTok and you've got mm-hmm. like probably the greatest legacy cannabis brand. But, you know, I know I've got like a 15-year-old daughter who should not be consuming cannabis. It's not the point. But right. She doesn't necessarily, she didn't grow up knowing what Cheech and Chong was, right? So right. you've got, you know, the younger generation. How are you bridging that gap?
Comedy and education, right? And entertainment. That's really what it is. Is it the guys are funny, right? Like the cat's out of the bag, the guys are funny. And they're funny to all generations. And that's really what we do on our social media is just keeping that authenticity of what the guys have always done. And they enjoy doing it. Like Tommy is doing TikToks like today, he's in the studio. Like they enjoy being a part of culture and of community. And that's what our goal is with our social media. It's really just to kind of give you a look into their lives, right? It's really more of that grassroots approach of the brand, of what's really going on with the people. And it obviously gets us new eyes, right? It's the time that we can introduce people to our brand. And then Bowlmates are for the people that want to really engage and be a part of the cannabis community in that way. So we kind of we're able to play to both sides of just on social media, where we're able to get that reach and those fresh eyeballs, as well as our paid strategy. That's how we get new people to be able to check out our products and just to see what we're about. And then Bowlmates is for the family, like you were saying, Uncle Tommy and Uncle Cheech. My daughter does call Tommy Uncle Tommy, and that's just who they are. They are these godfathers, these stewards of cannabis, and also just comedy and culture. They've impacted people's lives in so many different ways, not just the cannabis community.
Yeah, and you can see that, and just, you know, from the Wolf of Wall Street to Zootopia. I mean, Tommy yes. is pretty. I mean, I was watching Billions the other night, and I'm a few seasons behind, so don't spoil it.
Okay,
but there was definitely a reference to Up in Smoke, like yes. Cheech and Chong, right? And yeah. So you see this just correlating outward through different venues in different scopes of different worlds, right? That plays very well into the brand. And so their influence is felt all over the place. And, you know, Jake, on the side of products, like it's interesting on the audiences that we sell to, like when I was looking at the drink sales, when we were testing them in California, you know, it was almost 95, 96% women between the age of 21 and 45. Right. So unexpected to see that. Right. But it's amazing. Some of those products too transcend that audience. Besides just the social media outreach, the TikToks, and just the culture that they've been in for 50 plus years. I mean, these guys are the stories they can tell you, you know, all the way from you know, Belushi to now, to the here and now is pretty amazing. Their interconnectivity to culture.
That's great. So let's say, I mean, you've got a pretty good machine set up in terms of leveraging organic social, leveraging paid media on digital. I saw some memes going around on Twitter X, and I saw some notice there. Like there were people complaining that it seemed like you were the only advertiser.
You saw those, eh?
On Twitter, yeah.
You didn't only see them. He sent them to me on a Sunday.
Which, I mean, again, all PR is good, mostly. Yeah. But no, so but what you are, what that demonstrates though, is you're activating across all channels, right?
We
so
are.
You've got organic social, you've got paid media, you have retail, and then you have your brand experience. Now you legitimately have like a pretty big secret weapon, not a secret weapon, but you have a large advantage being able to leverage the Cheech and Chong brand. Maybe you could talk about, let's say you didn't have the Cheech and Chong brand, and there's some retailers here that are in the audience. What is a sort of a simple kind of entry-level recipe of like, here's how you can tie these pieces together to drive engagement at the retail level and retention?
You got to know your customer, right? At the end of the day, that's the biggest thing, is you've got to know who you're trying to sell to, who you're trying to connect with, because at the end of the day, that's really what selling, and I think having a brand, it's all about that connection, right? And I know exactly where you're going, because like, people say that to me all the time. It's easy for you to say you got Cheech and Chong. And yes, we do. Yes, we do have Cheech and Chong. But you still, even with a brand that resonates like that, you still have to do everything right. You need to be putting a casting a wide net. You need to be doing paid strategy online. You need to be building your brand on social. You need to be out hitting the pavement, doing like drive-ins with like the retail brand. You have to be out there and putting your brand out there constantly, because if you only do one thing, you'll never be a full brand in order to fully succeed. And it's something that we thread the needle with every single day of, you know, where do we go to? What do we need to be doing? Because it's hard to build a brand now. We all know, especially in like the paid strategies, like I think everybody got caught up with the iOS update that happened a while back, and we all still are trying to find our footing and things like that. We have the joke here around Cheech and Chong that we'll try anything twice. And it's true. We'll try anything twice. And it's because we look at our data, we look at our metrics, and we make calculated decisions about where to go and what to do.
Yeah. And I think, Jake, just a follow up on that. It's tough, right, out there in the cannabis space right now, for a variety of different reasons. And there is some strength in numbers. Like, you see a lot of people running to a Cookies or to a Willie Nelson or something else, and that's fine. We wanted to do more for them in that sense, right? We wanted to be actively engaged on products, right? We are, right? Joey Marin is actively engaged there and making sure we get great products. We wanted to follow terp profiles into our packaging. And we wanted to use our size to help others, right? So on the licensing side, a lot of times what we're doing is we're helping somebody, you know, whether it's in a wholesale or a retail component, they may have their own brand, right? But this could get them in the door in a lot of places that may not be interested in talking to them from the jump, right? So, and we're going to play with them, and we want them to be successful, right? Not just with us, but whatever they're doing, because we want to have long-term relationships with our licensee holders as this grows. So, you know, strength in numbers, supporting things, supporting initiatives. There's a lot of charities out there that we try to help out or write letters for people that have been locked up for cannabis. So, you know, just trying to move the ball, because if everybody kind of runs their own direction, there's no force that can be met, right? Because, you know, it's very tough, obviously, dealing with politicians and markets and you know, the regulations, Jake, that you've had to deal with, you know, on the advertising side for Media Gel. I mean, these are no joke, right? So, you know, teaming up with people, working out relationships too is highly important. If you're just a single brand out there and you don't have Cheech and Chong, you know, you shouldn't see everybody. Yes, they are your competition to an extent, but you should also try to find ways to bridge gaps and work together, because it's for the benefit of all, right? Like, the only way we get there is by all working together and not working in separate directions and you know, fighting amongst each other.
Yeah. We all want the same thing, and that's access for people to the plant, right? That's at the end of the day, that's what we're all gearing towards, is trying to get the access to people that want and need it most.
Right.
Yeah. So on the note of collaboration, we have, you know, we've run campaigns like this in the past where we'll work with a brand and a retailer at the same time, right? And we do a co-marketing campaign, you know, get Y brand at Z dispensary, run that in a radius around wherever that dispensary is. Although, you know, those campaigns are effective, but I found that they don't usually last very long. And I feel like it's because a lot of times it's difficult for, there's a complicated relationship between the retailer and the brands when they're not the same party. especially in California, because we have cash flow issues everywhere, right? So you have all these financial considerations that are making things complicated, where in the traditional CPG world, it's a little more established about how you would do co-marketing, how you would pay for end cap, how you'd support with digital. One of the advantages, I guess, that you have here is that in the case where you've got both a brand support and it's a licensed retailer, that works well for your channel. Have you found, I know that it's a newer effort for you. You've got a bunch of stores open and there's a bunch more coming, but have you found that being able to demonstrate the value of a cohesive brand plus retail marketing strategy is allowing those retailers to try to apply that with other brands they may be carrying? Because you've got a template that you can control both sides of and say, look at how well this works.
Yeah.
Is that something you've seen at all?
Yeah. I mean, good point. You know, you and I spoke a while back, Jake, about there was a, you know, we have a wholesaler. We work with Redwood in Las Vegas, right, in Nevada. And there was a chain of dispensaries, and specifically they wanted to target like geofence location device IDs in Camping World, which was across the street, right? They felt like they could get that. The problem there was they weren't going to let us hook into a POS system to monitor how this advertisement was actually working and make adjustments. And so inevitably that deal fell through. In our situation currently, like with our dispensary, as like we're working with Dutchie, and we're willing to work with others too, but we need to be in part of that POS so that we can connect this all through and see how it's going, right? We need to be able to measure, because when people speak about marketing and spending, that's great. But if you don't know what you're getting back for that, it becomes problematic. And the first thing to go when you're not getting that net result on your financial sheets is generally marketing and then, you know, personnel, right? So, you know, the trick really is like being able to say, hey, look, this should not go, because even though we're in a turbulent time, this marketing is working and here's the numbers. But you got to be connected into the systems, those POS channels, to see how those advertisements are playing through the actual sales process, not just, hey, look, we got 8 billion impressions. That's great, right? That's a great start, right? But then being able to see what that is turning into revenue so that you can adjust your spend accordingly, or rework campaigns, or fix your sales funnel. These are all really important aspects to the marketing game that matter. And until we got into the dispensaria level, we weren't able necessarily to do that, right? Because a lot of people are kind of shy about allowing you into their POS system to do an API feed there so that you can figure this stuff out. So now that we're in that, we can activate Bullmates, we can activate our social media, we can do things even with X. I always want to say Twitter, but with X now.
I know, I'm working on it.
When is like a cutoff date where we're, because still people get confused when you say X, or is there like, is it November or Christmas where we all say X? Like, when does that happen?
I've been corrected many times on media calls. So I think it's now.
It's now? Okay.
Yeah. So sometimes you say X and people are like, they give you a blank look, and then you say Twitter and it kicks in. But, you know, being able to rotate through all that and have that interconnectivity so that we can actually measure, because that's what we do really well on the B2C side, right? We're able to measure our spend and what's working, what's not working, what inventory, what buyer is really moving the ball for us. Being able now to do that on a ground level, in a regulated market through a POS system is huge, right? Because it gives us all kinds of advantage, and it gives our licensees a massive advantage on that too, as well.
Yeah, we've run, like I said, we've done successful co-marketing campaigns in the past with some of the larger brands in California, with call it a dozen different retailers, right? And so each creative was tailored towards that specific retailer. We found that, but one thing that happens for a brand is, the reality is consumers, even if they come in through your marketing channel and they're likely to buy your product, they're going to buy other stuff too, right? That's just what happens. People want different things when they fill up their basket at a dispensary. You know, the numbers we saw on average was about 50%, meaning like 50% of the basket value was going to the brand that actually did the marketing, and 50% was going to whatever gummies or stuff were, you know, laying around in the checkout that they wanted.
Impulse buy.
What's that?
An impulse buy.
Impulse buy. Or the reality is that, like, most brands don't cover all the different kinds of SKUs, right? Like, so you've got this brand, they have gummies and tinctures, but they don't make pre-rolls. And so many people want to get a couple pre-rolls, right, when they do their order. So I still feel like that's an incredibly valid, you know, marketing program. But you do have to get that connection. So we usually pull that off the e-com platform, like Dutchie, mm-hmm. for example, and we can see what basket items were in there. But like many things in the cannabis space, the data is still fragmented and siloed, right? Online orders is one thing. Offline orders is another thing. What's happening on your loyalty program? What's happening on cash payers? It does make it, it makes it very difficult for a marketer, especially since at least on the regulated side, you don't get to write off marketing dollars, right? So all of a sudden you're getting, and some, if you look at it at a black and white level, you're like, okay, I'm only getting 50% of the sales I'm marketing for, and then I'm paying extra 30% because of taxes. Once that gets to the CFO desk, it sometimes becomes difficult to continue to justify those things.
Yeah.
Well, I think you got to look at lifetime customer value too.
Exactly.
Right? There's an aspect that I think people miss a lot when they're looking at those basic black and white numbers. Like if that customer has a value, you know, maybe you broke even or lost a little money in that first buy by that customer, but over time, that can be a very profitable customer for you, right? So, you know, there's another metric that we look at, right? Between our email campaigns and everything we're doing on how many emails are being opened, how many purchases are being made. Like we're evaluating that lifetime customer value, right? Because we have the paid side, and then we have the social media side, and then we have Bowlmates, and then we have the POS system. So we can see this traffic coming in and what they're buying and start comparing notes on what that lifetime customer value is with an individual, right? And how engaged, how active they are at buying. And it's pretty incredible. I mean, even on Tommy's side, just on the CBD that was set up, you know, by Brandon and Steve Gunn, like that lifetime subscription customer value that's there that just rolls through month after month is pretty amazing that what those guys were able to achieve on something basic like that. So, you know, the goal is to optimize that across into the regulated market as well. And that's really what we've been working on. But, you know, it's amazing if you start looking at it more from that sense. You know, we were having this conversation about weed maps, and there was a massive attrition rate for some of the advertisement there. But the 19 or 20 or 30%, depending on the brand and the advertisement done by weed maps that was staying, still had a massive lifetime value, right? So even though that initial buy wasn't, you know, didn't look necessarily scalable, the lifetime value of some of those customers could definitely get there.
Yeah, let's dig into that a little more. Lifetime value, and just in general, the KPIs that your organization is looking at, both from like a retail perspective and an online or D2C perspective, which are really two very, very different things, different businesses.
Absolutely.
So we can talk about one and then the other. But what are the data points that you look at that you find help you drive success that other people can look at in their own business and say, these are the numbers I should be looking at?
Right. Well, when you're doing like a paid ad strategy online, like you need to have a healthy ROAS, right? Like that's just like simple math. If you're putting too much in and not getting enough out, you absolutely need to have a strong ROAS so that you're able to be profitable. But my biggest metric, and I'm going to sound a little bit like I'm repeating JB here, but it is the thing that I care the most about on both sides. And it is the customer lifetime value, because it is so easy to sell somebody once, right? You can have a like hot shit marketing campaign that just drops and it gets people's attention. You can have a name like Cheech and Chong or Mike Tyson or anybody to get somebody's attention and have them buy once. But in order to retain a customer, now you're dealing with the customer experience. And that has so much to do with how you're treating the customer. That's the support in the retail stores. That's your bud tenders. That's your actual customer support when they call in. If there's an issue with fulfillment, it also is like how you're fulfilling the products themselves. And it really gets down to also the quality of the product itself. If you don't have a strong quality of your product, you don't have a brand, period. Because nobody's going to keep on rebuying, or they're going to tell you everyone else how bad it was. So when it really is, when I look at the metrics, we look at everything, by the way. Like if somebody would give me their blood type, I will look at their blood type, because there's probably something in there that I can figure out a buying habit. Because you really need to know your customer. If you don't know your customer, then you definitely won't be able to sell to them, and you sure as hell won't be able to make them happy at the end of the day. And that's really what we're in the business of as a CPG. Like you are trying to make the consumer happy. You're providing a product and you're giving it to them. It's, you know, it's simple, but we have a lot of complicated things in order to do that. So those are really the metrics that I look at the most. It is is that lifetime customer value is what really matters the most. And then also, you know, like managing your spend and being able to pivot. If something isn't working, pivot, try new creative, do what you can, diversify your portfolio in the platform that you're on. We're constantly dealing with regulations, like JB was talking about, of we can't run this ad anymore, even though it was really well, it was performing. So it's working with the platforms in order to understand the guidelines and to thread that needle and find out where that line is and go right up to that line and to make the sale the best way you possibly can.
Yeah, that's it's refreshing to hear. I would say that a lot of, you know, a lot of dispensary owners, they have to do a lot of things, right, in order to keep those lights on. And most of them didn't go to school for marketing. And so you end up with a relatively sort of, and most of the problems of dispensary owners are short term, like paying rent is difficult sometimes.
Yes.
Getting paid by, you know, getting the cash, paying your bills, now taxes, all those things. But what I see a lot of is people really only thinking in like 30 to 60 to 90 days in terms of when they're looking at marketing. And I realize it's difficult to invest in brand equity and LTV when you're in that sort of, you know, kind of flying by the seat of your pants in some ways.
Survival mode, you know.
Survival mode. But that does, it does influence how people approach marketing campaigns sometimes. So they're like, okay, well, I'm going to run this campaign and I got, you know, if we talk about ROAS, let's say, let's take a not great example. Let's say you spent $10,000 and you generated $10,000 in sales. Okay. So obviously you've lost money there because you don't, you know, you have costs and all these other things.
Yeah.
But the real question is if that $10,000 represents 100 customers that each spent $1,000 or $100, I think that math is right. Anyway,
don't ask me.
So for that number of customers, how many of them are going to continue to be your customer, right? That over time, you know, you make money off of that customer. And that gets directly into what I see as the most overlooked marketing tactic, which is retention marketing.
Yes.
So people are very excited to get new customers.
Yeah.
And then usually the very next thing they want to do is stop marketing to them. They're like, I want to put them on an exclusion list. Right. And we, you know, try to have a conversation with people about the fact that, okay, let's take every major brand, you know, Coca-Cola, McDonald's, Budweiser, whatever, like everybody knows who they are, right? There's a reason why they're still marketing. And that doesn't not exist for cannabis brands. It's still a brand. You still need to build it. How do you think about retention marketing from a budgeting perspective and how that impacts your LTV?
It's all about what we were saying, like that customer experience. Once we retain you, you're our family. Like we market specifically to our super fans because that really is where a lot of your revenue is going to come from, is going back to those customers. You know, they're a sure thing, right? You know, so we do our email lists. We are constantly giving them incentives to buy and also to become your brand ambassador. People are more likely to buy something if they've heard somebody else has had a great experience. We also, another metric that we look at is our reviews. We are all over our reviews to make sure that we're on top of things with our customer experience. But we do, we look at retaining that customer and like we'll do saves. It's, we want to keep that customer and to keep them close because they are, they're your P1. Once you know who that person is too, you're able to know a lot more about your other customers that are potential customers because you know about this one person. You're able to look at their profile and to be able to figure out what their likes and interests are. And then you'll be able to possibly use that one person to find other eyeballs to find and sell.
That's a good point. That's something that I think is another thing that many cannabis marketers may not be aware of. You know, if you have a list of email addresses of customers that have purchased, it doesn't take a lot of those people to put into a model and then do lookalike modeling, right? So
exactly.
We can take your email list, we can, you know, encrypt that, we can run it into an identity graph and say, okay, this particular, your customers index towards this age, gender, income, ethnicity, voting patterns, any one of these characteristics. And this is what, you know, this is what CPG companies do. And we can return back. Here are, you know, okay, you've got 20,000 customers. Here's 100,000 people in your market that are very similar people that you've never spoken to. and let's market to them with the same messaging that has worked on your existing customers.
Absolutely. Like, for example, I always have these because they're like, they save me during the day. Our cruise shoes, they go to the baby boomers. An older market loves these, and also like a more conservative person. And that's something that we found from looking at our data. And that's who we do the lookalike lists. And we found our target customer because that's what they're looking for. They're not looking for a crazy cannabis rush. They're adults. They got things to do. They need something smaller, like just a few milligrams of THC to get through their day and feel a little bit better.
Yeah. So cruise juice, that's a legal product, mm-hmm. unregulated, right? Because it falls within the Farm Bill guidelines. Yeah.
Delta 9.
Which means you can ship it, you can fly with it.
Direct to your door, Jake. You just let me know. I'll send some to you.
Jake's well aware. He was the Twitter ad on that. Like, yeah, we got a lot of earned media based on what the spend looked like on on that specific product, right? Mm-hmm. Because you know, the minute those doors start opening up, and then we're able to then use that data points into the regulated market. So just like what you're saying, understanding the customer, Jake, from what you can do on that side. But it's just amazing, you know, how fast you can move, especially if you have some hero products. We got a good one coming out for Black Friday. I won't spoil that. I know Brandon's working in the lab on that.
He's excited.
Yeah, we got another one coming out that we're definitely going to do a massive push on for you know, Black Friday. But that product alone, it's amazing how many units of that we sell a week. Like, mm-hmm. I'm just always blown away. And it's a fantastic product, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just knowing the audience, right? Not everybody in cannabis wants to get super high, right? Like, some people want to have more of a mellow scenario, right? And so, and we are making something that with a little more gas to it, so to speak. Mm-hmm. It's a little more octane. But yeah, I mean, I think it's something that is a fantastic product for a lot of people. And how do you attract that person who is, you know, the soccer mom, right? She's not necessarily going to work in the dispensary. So there's two ways of going about that in our mind. One is product specifically built for them. Some of the drinks are, you know, the seltzer waters are specifically built. Doesn't have the calorie, has a nice little buzz, mellow buzz to it. It's a great alcohol replacement. Oh, there's one.
There we go, right here.
Yeah. And then you have the dispensaria model, which is opening and inviting and has Cheech and Chong's name on it. So trying to capture some of those people that are kind of on the fence or have looked at the space and in wonderment or worried about walking into a dispensary, that there might be some kind of, you know, Fed bust going on in that dispensary when they're in it, you know. So trying to get them into a safe place, moving them kind of down the path of what this all looks like, because you know, cannabis has some great effects for people and it definitely can be used functionally. And that was one of the things Tommy was saying from the jump to me was like, hey, we tried to portray an image that, you know, you don't just smoke cannabis and go rob a bank. You can smoke cannabis and go, you know, do music, be in a band. You can go lift weights. You can, you can be productive with this, right? It doesn't have to be something where you find yourself couch locked. And so, you know, those words have really resonated in this brand from Tommy and from Cheech, and trying to build products that just completely capture an entire audience. If you look at what we have everything from regulated to unregulated. We're trying to reach the entire audience so that they can have products and it's in their wheelhouse, right? You know, not everybody wants a beer. Not everybody wants hard alcohol. You know, some people might like wine coolers. So, you know, being able to have a widespread range of products is highly important to a attract more of that audience participation in the brand.
And, you know, given that you have quite a few brands now, I mean, they're all sort of in the Cheech and Chong pantheon, but they're different use cases. They're targeted at different demographics. How do you make sure that, or allocate your resources to support so many different things at the same time? And at some point you're like, okay, well, we've got like 20 things. We got to stop supporting a couple of them. Like how much dialogue is there around that internally?
Ready, aim, fire, fix. No,
Build the plane while you're flying.
No, it's something where like we're in a position where we are cash flow positive, right? So we're able to use our net revenue generation to bring on new products and move them out into the marketplace in which we're comfortable with the media spend, the product costs and try some things. Will they all be winners? No, that's not what happens. But if you get a few that are, it will cover the few that aren't, right? And then more so, and allow you to continue developing. I mean, this one, you know, from the B direct, from, you know, B to C direct to consumer channel, it went from just basic CBD products to Delta 9 gummies to Delta 9 drinks to more products that are coming out rather quickly. So, you know, being able to do that, and same on the regulated, like, let's make sure our products are right and we have products in states so that when we go and go to look for a licensing deal for a dispensaria, like, we can work that system together. So it's something that's taken a while, obviously, the last 3 years to build to this point, you know. So we want to make sure, like, yes, we want to be aggressive, like what you're saying, Jake, but we also want to make sure that we have the coverage to support that aggression, both financially, marketing, product wise, and with operators, right? Licensees are operators. So we want to make sure that we're having those productive conversations across the board with the people that are engaged in each aspect of that for regulated and unregulated markets, so that we can continue to build in a direction that doesn't, you know, sink the ship, so to speak, right? Mm-hmm. You don't want to get over your skis on something that's just not going to work. So it allows us to leverage our risk in our favor drastically, having all those components and being able to see, you know, we didn't roll out the retail license model immediately. And there was a reason for that, because one, to see how the products were doing and how the brand was doing in certain areas and get data points and COAs and understand the sales process. And once we did, we moved quickly to retail, right? Because we knew at that point, those retail shops would work. So, and they are. So yeah, just, you know, making sure you're taking those steps in the most informed way with the most data you can get is hugely, hugely important for us and for any company out there.
Patience. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Something, right? I have to tell myself all the time, because I get excited. I'm like, let's go, let's do it. But that's really what it is. There's a saying in, like, broadcasting that 10 years is an overnight success. And I feel the same way about building brands and businesses. It starts with an idea, and then it takes time, and you have to be patient, because if you try and scale too fast, you'll fail. And if you're not ready for that opportunity, you'll fail. So it's all about just making sure that you have the data in front of you, have the metrics, and making the right moves at the right time, and just being patient, but pulling the trigger when you need to.
Yeah. And I mean, Jake, it goes back to a point you're making on brand, on providers, on operators, right? Not mm-hmm. having a full SKU. And that's why the basket was 50 theirs and 50 someone else's. You know, generally when we walk into a state with a wholesale license, like, we're going to start off small. We're not trying to do a full menu day one, because that just doesn't make a lot of sense. So we're, you know, we'll come out with some flower, some pre-rolls, some of the products we know that are traditionally really well sold in those marketplaces, and then build from there. But then we have other licensees that are coming in saying, hey, look, I just ran, can you guys make me a name for a 2 gram blunt, right? So we did the Cochiba, right, in Nevada. Mm-hmm. And then as it sold, then we took it to other licensees and said, hey, we're having some success here. You know, would you like to get in on something like this? Can we build this product for you? Because this is what we're seeing it do. So being able to spread that, you know, in that manner makes a lot more sense than just diving headfirst into the unknown.
Who gets to come up with the fun names of, like, the products? Chichilada. I want to be in that room. How does that happen?
Everybody. That's what's so fun is we do. It's a very democratic over here at Cheech and Chong. We have a naming convention list, and everybody just throws it up on the wall, and we kind of see what sticks. And that's what's fun, is that every single person that works at Cheech and Chong is a huge part of the brand. And that's what I love the most about working for this company, is all the people that I get to work with. And everybody plays very key roles and pivotal roles. And everyone is just as much a part of the brand as Cheech and Tommy themselves.
Yeah. A lot of it originally started with two guys you know very well, Jake, Naftali and Aaron.
Yeah.
A lot of that.
That's work right there. He did our logo. Yeah, many years ago.
He's a genius.
So a lot of it started with those guys and kind of spread out. But yeah, no, Brooke's right. It is a complete team effort. Everybody that works at the company is so ultimately excited to be here. And they have to be, because we don't pay great. I'm kidding.
That's like every major brand. I spent a lot of time, like, early in my career doing content for the large movie studios, right? Uh-huh. We start working with people at Disney and Warner Brothers. And yep. Not knowing how it worked, you just assumed all those guys were paid really well.
Yeah.
They were not, right? They, nope. You know, there's a certain amount
TV
of like,
in general.
Yeah.
You're lucky to be here. That's the
mentality, you get to put this on your resume. You should pay us. I do want to get, we do have a Q&A section. We're running up on time here. If anybody wants to ask some questions, we have someone who wants to buy your products. Orlando, I will get Jonathan your phone number that you've
listed. Thanks, Orlando.
and he'll reach out to you afterwards or someone will. There was a question about asking your dispensarios in terms of which ones are doing better than others. I don't think that they're even going to answer revenue questions for their licensors. So I'll just, unless you want to, I don't think you do. No. Okay. We'll skip over that. This is a question from August, which is, what was the most challenging state to get into?
Get into, but the most challenging state is Michigan, right? Michigan rates a lot like California without the population. Mm-hmm. So Michigan has always been kind of, there was a massive recall by a testing company that did about 85% of the cannabis testing there. And they had kind of messed up on some of the COAs. So there was a massive recall. There's been all kinds of brand issues in Michigan. So, and their deli style. So I think, you know, when you look at it from that standpoint, you know, that's a challenge, but there's challenges in every state. And it's not hard for us. Like a lot of people come to us and obviously you have to evaluate the situation, but it's not hard for us to get into a state. It's hard to operate within that state's norms, right? Like understanding different markets, going back to Vegas, like blunts are a better seller than flower, right? Because people are traveling to Vegas, right? So, you know, Alaska has literally like the cruise lines when it's summer, it does really well, but the winter does nothing. Right. So there's a lot of different states and different markets that have different formalities that are misunderstood. And you have to get a grasp on what those look like. You know, we're in Germany, Malta, Switzerland, and we had to go through the testing obviously because it's medical. Right. So that was a very challenging, I guess not state, but country to get into. Mm-hmm. Was because we had to wait through a lot of those processes to make sure that we were approved. And then it's CNC there, right? We can't say Cheech and Chong because, you know, our German friends think that somehow is too much fun, I guess, for them. So, you know, I mean, it's one of these things that there are a lot of challenges. You know, Arkansas was made us take the icons off the packaging, right? Because, you know, cookies came in there in a very strong wave and kind of shook the snow globe. And we all got our hands slapped a little bit on how we package products, us and them. So every state has a challenge. I'd love to get into Texas. Obviously, we can't go there, but we have products that are on the non-regulated side that we can move there. So I think Texas will probably present a massive challenge, but it should be entertaining when that floodgate opens. So yeah, we're looking at anywhere there's an opportunity and trying to understand the marketplace and what will work and what won't work and where the similarities are to other states that makes sense.
Yeah, we have we work in all the states at this point. Some are definitely more difficult from an advertising perspective. Mm-hmm. You've got a handful of states where you have to get the actual ad creative approved by someone in the government.
Ooh.
And if that person's on vacation, you should not be launching that campaign.
Yeah.
Pennsylvania, Minnesota, Florida has something similar.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a unlimited number of challenges that you are allowed to face in the cannabis industry, it appears.
Yes. I've got a lot of emails out that I'm waiting to get approval of creative back. A lot of that.
Yeah. You know, we've got on the actual supply side, we've got that sorted out for a while now, which is that from the actual publishers that we work with, we have explicit approval from them. Mm-hmm. They know that we're sending them ads about cannabis. They know that we know the laws, but then you still have this issue of getting through the hoop with whatever the state agency is.
Yeah.
So, and I had the Cruz Cheese packaging and a funny thing occurred to me, which is that not that the TSA really cares about cannabis at all.
Oh yeah.
But like you now have a jar that says Cheech and Chong cannabis on it that is a legal transport vessel, right? Across anyway, it's kind of a funny world that we live in right now.
Yeah.
The way the laws have shaped up.
Yeah. Well, Tommy always is complaining to me that he always gets extra security whenever he travels. And I'm like, well, go figure, you're Tommy Chong.
Yeah, that is not surprising.
they're going to expect you to have something. And he's always asking me, I'm okay with the cruise shoes, right?
They're probably hoping to like get a pre-roll off of him and like sell it. Yeah. Like, I have Tommy Chong's pre-roll. So, all right. Well, I think we're good on questions here. Oh, no, we're not. We have a couple. Let's see. How do you market a product? How do you market a great product that's healthy for our customers and better for the planet with an extremely limited budget for marketing?
Oof, that's tough. It's hard to market anything. So it's activating the base that you already have, right? So having a strong brand identity and knowing who your customer is, marketing to the people that you already have, and just creating like the ad campaign that you can within it. If you have a good product and it's just getting the word out to people, that's like that's the strategy that you need to operate under. But it's difficult right now. You need to be able to look at your data and figure out, do a precision-based advertising campaign, right? You don't want to be, this isn't the time where you're doing a bunch of split tests and throwing money at it and seeing what works, right? So it's just really looking, deep diving into who your exact customer is, knowing exactly what they want, and making sure that your targeting is going directly to that person, whether that be using existing profiles of your customers and making a list off of that, or creating a new profile. But you just want to make sure that you are really focusing in on your target audience so you can be surgical and acquire that customer as cheaply as possible. That's tough though. I'm always bugging JB and everybody else. Like, we need more money. Like, that's what every marketer wants, more money, right? That's it. It'll work. Yeah. Just give me some more money.
Increase budget. I promise it'll work.
It'll work. And we're almost there. This is the break it. But it's tough. And I feel your pain, whoever that is. It's tough. Sinead, it's tough and it's hard. But just really focus on what your creative that you're putting out there. That's the biggest thing. And a lot of creative too, if you have the capability for it. We are constantly with our machine, I'm adding at least 5 new pieces of creative on each platform a week to just keep it fresh, keep it going so that people are constantly being able to engage with the brand.
That's an aggressive schedule.
Congratulations for that. It's really hard.
Yeah.
We have a lot of smart people, but it's really difficult to get all that creative out there.
That's great. Yeah. We're wrapping up on time here at the top of the hour. We're not on broadcast, Brooke, though. So it's not like there's another program starting.
Oh, good.
Go by a minute. No, we're not just going to get like
the color bar.
Color bar. Yeah. You're done. Get off. But maybe you could tell everyone here, and then also these get restreamed later, people look at them, how people can reach you, who might be interested in talking to you. I know you want to talk to retailers, but maybe some contact info. If you want, Jonathan, I can post your personal number here in the chat. No? Okay.
Take everything to Jonathan. Yeah, that's great.
That's fine. How can people get a hold of you if they're interested in learning more about the Dispensaria product or your products that carry in their non-branded retail locations?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's just JB for Jonathan Black, JB at cheechandandchong.com. That's my email. Mm-hmm. Feel free to shoot over the emails. I mean, Brooke and I are generally looking at all the emails coming into info and everything anyway. Yeah. So it'll just get to me a little bit quicker instead of being filtered, but that's what it is. And I believe Brooks is Brooke at cheechandchong.com.
We keep it easy. Also, if you're on social media, you can slide into Cheech and Chong's DMs. I check those too. So we'll be there. There's a lot of interesting stuff in there, as you can imagine.
I bet.
It's good stuff on a Sunday afternoon.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to do something a little different here since we have a rock and roll DJ. I'm going to have Brooke, you're going to take us home and sign us off. This is Jake Litke, CEO of MediaGel. We do digital advertising for cannabis brands, and I'll let our host, Brooke.
The host?
Yeah.
Oh, now you're the host. Yeah.
Now you have the microphone.
I am the captain now. All right. Well, big thank you from both JB and myself for sticking around with us for the entire hour. It was so fun just to sit here and talk shop. And thanks so much for joining us. And please like and subscribe and give a 5-star review to our friend Jake over here. Thanks so much for having us. Do you do reviews? I don't know. I'm just throwing it in there.
We do. Yeah, there's Google reviews. And I think there's some other places where we can do reviews. But There you go. All right, thanks everyone. Have a good day. Bye.